Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Tuesday, August 22nd, 2017. And with me today, I have Jeff Butts. How are you, Jeff?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing all right. And Dave Hamilton, how are you?
I am doing very well. Thanks for having me.
I'm so glad both of you are here. And Dave, thank you so much for taking the reins for me yesterday so that I could go and experience the total eclipse.
Yeah, it was my pleasure. No worries. All fun.
Yeah, and I was not worried about the show at all. I knew I was leaving it in good hands. So thank you.
Sure.
Yeah, and we have a sponsor this week. That sponsor is Eero, the Wi-Fi mesh product. We'll talk about that in a bit. But first off, Jeff, you wrote up a piece yesterday while I was busy using my solar eclipse glasses so I would not burn my eyes out. You found or wrote up this thing about the facial recognition system that may be in the iPhone 8, and it's like insanely fast and detailed.
Yeah, measurements in millionths of a second.
So
what?
Yeah. Yeah, it's like super fast, and the granularity sounds like it's just going to be amazing.
So basically, get the phone near your face, and it's already recognized you.
Yeah, that's how it sounds. And, you know, that is leaps and bounds better than Touch ID. I mean, sometimes my Touch ID sensor takes me a second or two to actually unlock my phone.
And there,
but this sounds like it would be instantaneous.
Yeah. It sounds like something that's instantaneous. And it's kind of funny to think about complaining about it takes a second for a thumbprint scanner to unlock our iPhone.
Yeah.
That there is a time in the not too distant past when that would be considered practically miraculous.
True.
So where did the details for this come from?
They came from the Korea Herald, which is a newspaper out of South Korea, obviously. And it's interesting because they don't name their source or provide any links to their source, but it's Korea. Samsung is making these OLED displays, so the writing's pretty much on the wall about where this leak came from.
Wow.
Huh. Interesting. So nothing that, of course, Apple has confirmed yet.
Oh, of course not. And they won't until mid-September.
Of course not. Now, with facial recognition that fast, and keep in mind, I've been kind of resistant to the idea of not having Touch ID. And even though I tend to be okay with change, this is one place where I'm a little bit resistant.
Yeah.
But based on what you've seen, what you've heard, and what you've learned, does this sound like something that will really appease people that are resistant to switching from Touch ID to something else?
Yeah, you know, I think so. Based on everything that we've heard, you know, from the fact that it's measured in millionths of a second to the fact that it's infrared, so it doesn't need ambient light to do anything. And I don't know if I mentioned this in my article or not, but the granularity, it's supposed to be sending, I believe, thousands, if not millions, of tiny infrared dots at your face in order to map out your face.
Okay, tiny infrared dots. I think you're getting into the territory that's going to address some of the concerns that I had initially. And correct me if I'm wrong, please. So if you're using infrared dots to map out your face, and you have someone like me who tends to not be completely consistent with their face, in my case specifically, sometimes I'm wearing dark sunglasses. Sometimes I'm wearing my computer glasses. Sometimes I have a full beard. Sometimes I don't have any facial hair. Am I correct in assuming that infrared deals with that gracefully because it can actually penetrate past like a beard
to reach my face? A beard for sure, because it's basically measuring heat.
Mm-hmm.
And your facial hair doesn't have as much heat as your face itself does.
Okay.
So it's going to see through in a sense, it's almost X-ray-like, but it's not penetrating the skin. It's just going past the hair.
It's getting to the skin, regardless of whether you have glasses on or off or a beard or anything like that. Yeah. Right.
All right.
Huh. Okay. Yeah, I'm wondering either how accurate this can be or how much slosh room, for lack of a better term, Apple will need to build into the sensor to allow for it to correctly identify me every time I look at it. Right. I mean, that's the big question. What's the reliability of this thing?
Yeah, they're going to have to allow for some level of tolerance.
Yeah, exactly. Tolerance. That's a perfect.
Because sometimes our face is a little bit bloated. Sometimes it's not.
Yeah.
You know, it's going to need to be tolerant of that. And I suspect that behind the scenes, there's some science fiction-y algorithm that postulates what your face might look like under certain circumstances.
Hmm.
Oh, okay. So like you have, like me, sometimes I have allergy issues and my face gets kind of puffy and swollen. Maybe it could accommodate for that. Is that sort of thing you're thinking of?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Okay. But not like, you guys know how rowdy I am. I go to the bar and get in a fight. I'm joking.
Everybody. Right. No, it happens all the time.
No, I've heard about it. I've heard the stories. And I want to party with you, man.
Yeah. We're going to have a great time. Yeah. So I come home with a black eye. That's, and it's like all swollen and everything. That's probably not something a scanner like, or a system like this would accommodate. And the reason I'm speculating this is because I've had situations where I've accidentally sliced across my thumb.
Mm-hmm.
And until that cut is almost completely healed, I can't use that finger for touch ID.
Use that finger. And that would make sense for a number of reasons. I mean, especially looking at the example of a black eye, that inflammation is going to generate more heat.
Sure.
So anything that causes inflammation in your face could potentially interfere with the facial recognition simply because it's changing the map.
Right. Okay. That makes sense. Now, okay. Now, based on the info that we have now, and keeping in mind that, of course, this is nothing that Apple has confirmed at all, are you guys more excited about facial recognition as a replacement for Touch ID than you were before? And I guess excited may not be the right word. Maybe more interested.
I'll go.
Yeah, go ahead.
All right. You know, change is always one of those things, and I have to temper any change resistance that I might have, or I have to at least put it through the filter that could possibly exist and likely does exist. You know, the thing about Touch ID is I don't have to have my phone aimed at my face for it to work.
Mm-hmm.
So for things like using Apple Pay, where the camera on my phone is often aimed at the ceiling when I'm, you know, putting my device near the sensor or whatever, like, is that going to be a replacement for it for Apple Pay? I don't know. And if it is, then okay. Like, how quickly can I adapt to that?
Yeah.
Right. But you know, things like, I don't know. It'll be interesting. I've tried to be aware of how many times my phone is aimed at me when I touch ID it, and countering that with, well, once I go to use it, is it then aimed at me? So the fact that I touch ID'd it on the way up is irrelevant. It's going to be, you know, it'll, I'll be looking at it eventually and then it'll take care of it from there. So yeah, I mean, it's a screen device, right? How many times do I need to unlock it? I guess the one time routinely where I have to unlock my phone that I'm not looking at it and it is not looking at me is when my phone goes to sleep while I'm driving and I need to or want to bring up the Waze screen again. Right. Mm. And I tell, you know, I say to my phone, hey, launch
person.
Yeah. Launch Waze. And at that point, it will say you need to unlock your phone first. So I just kind of reach my thumb over and put it, you know, on the thing, and then everything is totally fine. And I can do that without really looking at the phone or paying a whole lot of visual attention to it. Mm-hmm. And certainly it's not aimed at my face. It's kind of, you know, on my dash, you know, just sort of aimed. I think the camera would probably take a picture of the roof of my car at that point. So that scenario, there needs to be a better way. That's a clunky UX regardless currently.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that needs to be fixed. And maybe this will create a far more pressing need for that to be fixed. But otherwise, yeah. Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah, the one thing that is encouraging to me is that I've seen reports, and they're speculative at this point, but I've seen reports that these sensors are going to have a much wider angle range than taking a picture.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
So they'll be able to accommodate the fact that the phone might be at an oblique angle and not facing directly at your face.
Now, I'm picturing people setting up their new iPhones where instead of having to move their thumb around on the button, they have to hold their phone in front of their face, off to the side of their head, underneath their chin, above their scalp.
Yeah, it'll look a lot like a makeup show.
Yeah.
So another question that comes up, mm-hmm. and I don't mean to derail us, Jeff, but what's the security of this? Like right now I have to put my thumb or finger on my phone, or someone has to take my thumb and put it on the phone, right, against my will. Mm-hmm. But in order for that to happen, they've either got to cut off my finger, or, you know, I am aware that something is going on. With an infrared scanner, especially one, if, like Jeff said, is a much wider angle, if someone steals my phone and we're in a crowd of people, like, are they going to be able to just aim it at me, unlock it, and walk away without me really potentially even being aware that this was happening?
That would right? suck.
That's a serious issue.
But yeah. Let's say somebody pickpockets your phone, right? You're in a crowd. They aim it back at you, unlock it, and walk away. You don't know any of that happened if they're a good pickpocket. I'm not encouraging this behavior. I'm just, you know, painting a picture.
Right.
Huh. I don't know. Like that's a question. So, yeah.
All right. Well, that's a question that I really want to see an answer to. Assuming Apple is really using facial recognition as a replacement for the Touch ID that we have today. Right. All right. Well, my guess, and I'm totally guessing here, but I think I'm probably pretty close. My guess is by the middle of next month, we'll have answers to this stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, we have a sponsor today, and that sponsor is Eero, and they make the Wi-Fi mesh network system that I'm using in my place. And I used the first generation model when it came out and loved it. And I have since switched to the second generation model, which I am loving as well. And what I'm really digging about the second generation version is that it seems to me like my network is more responsive and is a little bit faster. And I seem to have even a little bit better range. And I think part of this is because they've added in a third 5 gigahertz radio to the system. So now it does the whole tri-band thing, and it's like twice as fast as the first generation model. So for me, that's been cool because I tend to be kind of a hardcore user with my Eero or with my Wi-Fi networks, and having a system where I no longer have to worry about how much bandwidth any specific device is taking up is great. So now I can totally multitask in the most inappropriate ways. So I can download system updates on one device while I'm doing research and writing about articles on another, and streaming movies to my Apple TV at the same time. And it's a beautiful, wonderful thing. I love that I can do this. Also, incredibly easy to set up. I just love that it was basically plug everything in, download the app, the Eero app to my iPhone, and with a couple taps, I suddenly have this awesome network that extends far, far wider than what I had before. It's an awesome thing. So I would love for all of you to have a Wi-Fi network that's as great as mine. So what you need to do is head over to the Eero website, and that's Eero.com, and then pick out the system that you want. And then when you get to the checkout, choose overnight shipping and then enter the promo code TDO. And when you do that, you're going to get free overnight shipping in the United States and Canada. So Eero.com, Eero.com, and use that promo code TDO after you choose overnight shipping so that you get your shipping for free. And you can have an awesome network that's superior to what you're using today as early as tomorrow. So go get your Eero kit and have an awesome network. And thank you to Eero for being our sponsor. All right. So we have a couple minutes left, and I wanted to get your opinion on something that I found this morning, which is, they're videos that a developer found. And the developer is Guillermo Rambo, and he's been digging through iOS beta source code. And what he has found is that Apple has some videos that are kind of tucked away, that they're the little how-to videos that Apple includes showing gestures, and you've probably already seen them on your Mac when you go into system preferences and look at the gestures for your trackpad. Yeah. Same sort of thing. The gestures that you'll see on your iPhone are showing that you don't have to have a home button. So, So there's a gesture where you swipe up, and in iOS 10, swiping up shows the control center. Now that's going to do the same thing as double tapping the home button would, which is get you to that whole application switcher view. And control center now is a swipe from right to left. So instead of getting the camera from your lock screen like you do today, you'll get that control center, which is kind of interesting, I'm thinking.
Is this something people that are running the iOS 11 beta can do?
It doesn't look like they can do it.
Okay.
But the videos showing how this will work are embedded down in the code.
Oh, interesting.
And Guillermo Rambo found these videos. And what they're showing is a phone that you really can't see a home button on it.
Huh.
But it's a phone that otherwise looks like an iPhone 7.
Huh.
Yeah. And so they just do the swipe up, and you're in the app switcher, swipe right, and you've got the camera, you no longer have the camera. Now you have the control center.
Right.
I just thought it was kind of cool. What do you guys think about these?
I want to know where to find them.
Yeah. I want to know how to enable them.
Yeah. I mean, it's one of those things that even with a home button, I would love for the swipe up to bring me something that I tend to use more than the control center.
Does Guillermo provide a path to these videos?
No, he provides a couple tweets showing these videos.
You know, that's all well and good, but I want somebody to actually give me the path so I can find it for myself and see it for myself.
All right. Well, he has found it. Stephen Trotton Smith, who is awesome at digging through code and has found all kinds of other things. He's found it also.
Okay.
So maybe one of them will be generous enough to let us know where they found it in the code.
I'll reach out.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
I'll reach out, because if I can find them and extract them somehow, that would be a good ad for the TMO YouTube channel, I think.
Yeah, for sure.
That'd be awesome. Yeah. All right. Well, to me, this also says it's very likely that all the reports we've been hearing for a while that there's no home button on the iPhone 8 are spot on.
Yeah, and you know, it all falls into the August 15th rule.
Tell me about the August 15th rule.
This is something that Brian Wolf over at App Advice has been living by for years, and it's been pretty solid. The closer we get to August 15th, the more accurate the rumors get.
Okay. Okay.
And after August 15th, the rumors are typically spot on.
Okay. Well, we are post August 15th.
We are.
And these videos apparently have been tucked away in iOS 11 betas for at least a couple months, and it's just that no one's found them yet.
Yeah, right.
All right.
Well, and I think part of that is because you don't download the beta from your Mac anymore. You download it over the air using a configuration profile. So you really have to dig into the mobile backups, I think, to find it.
You can download it right from the developer center. It's just not the preferred way.
When I go to the developer center, the download link for iOS 11 only downloads the configuration profile the last time I checked.
Oh, even still. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, seeing these gestures in the videos, I'm kind of liking them. So this is one change that I don't think I'll be resistant to.
Yeah, I'm on the fence, because I'm really used to swiping up from the bottom of my screen to get to the control center. And especially now with iOS 11, I use the control center much more often. And granted, I'm a special use case. I'm always accessing screen mirroring to reflect my screen to reflector. And I'm going to have to learn a new workflow for that.
Yep. And if you're used to doing a swipe for the camera all the time, you're going to have to learn a new workflow.
Yep.
So, all right. Well, we are out of time. Of course we are. We need to wrap up. Dave, thank you so much for being here today.
Yeah. Thanks for having me. Fun stuff.
Yes. And thank you again for running the show for me yesterday.
My pleasure.
I do appreciate that. And Jeff, thank you for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Yep, it's great to have both of you here. It's also great that Eero is our sponsor today. Head over to their website, Eero.com, Eero.com, and use the discount code TDO after you choose overnight shipping at checkout, and you're going to get your shipping for free, which is pretty awesome. So thank you, Eero, for being our sponsor, and listeners, thank you for joining us. We will see everyone again tomorrow. We'll be right back.